Who are the real people we consider our sages? Who were they in life? What is the legacy they left us? Join Rabbi Danny Sackstein for the next hour as he explores the lives of our Torah giants, the spiritual geniuses who shaped the way we approach Judaism today. That's Focus on Our Sages right now on 101.9 High FM.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Soul to Soul. Wonderful to be with you this Wednesday afternoon. And we're going to be looking at, of course, we're not far away from the wonderful festival of Shavuos. And since our show is a focus on the sages, we're going to be sharing two interesting explanations and understandings of what Shavuos is or what this festival is by two of the great Hasidic masters, the Sfas Emes and the Preet Tzaddik Rav Tzadok HaKohen. But before we get to that, let's discuss a little bit about what Shavuos is and what it represents. Let's start out with some of the minhagim, some of the customs that we observe on this festival of Shavuos. So Shavuos begins on Saturday night and Sunday night, Monday. So we have Yom Tov. So actually we've got a triple header. We go straight from Shabbos into first night Shavuos, Saturday night, Sunday, and then second night Shavuos, Sunday night, and Monday is second day Shavuos. Shavuos, we'll see that there are some interesting minhagim. It is quite fascinating that Shavuos seems to be one of those festivals that is a little bit forgotten. Even if Jews are not so connected to Torah and mitzvahs, Baruch Hashem here in South Africa, so most of our Jewish community is traditional and still has some sort of observance of Pesach and of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, of Sukkot, because of the Sukkah, etc. But when it comes to Shavuos, it seems to have fallen away by many, unfortunately, which is quite strange because Shavuos is the Chag, is the time where we celebrate Matan Torah, the receiving of the Torah that God gave us at Mount Sinai. So one would think that that should be the last of those festivals to be forgotten, but somehow it seems to be less observed than many of the other festivals. Some say because there are no particular symbols that are associated with it. Unlike Pesach, you have your matzah, and Sukkot, you have your sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, you got your shofar, Yom Kippur, we all fast. But when it comes to Shavuos, they're not, so, you know, Shavuos is just the Torah, you know, that's the Torah is something that should not be forgotten. And therefore, Shavuos is a very important festival, something we should get. Now, first and foremost, before we even get to the customs of Shavuos, it's important for us to be cognizant of the beauty of the Yom Tov of Shavuos, is found in the appreciation we have to God for the Torah. The Torah that God gave the Jewish people at Mount Sinai, it's known as Matan Torah, the gift of Torah. Matana is a gift in Hebrew. So the gift that God gave the Jewish people by giving us the Torah at Mount Sinai. And the celebration, the Simcha of Shavuos begins with our acknowledgement and appreciation of what it means to have the Torah. The Torah is that which elevates us. The Torah is that which gives us a connection to eternity and to spirituality. The Torah gives us meaning and purpose and content in our lives. The Torah connects us to the Creator, to the source of all life, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Creator of the universe. So the Torah is the game changer. The Torah is the bridge. The Torah is the life force of a Jew. The Torah is the covenant that we all entered into at Mount Sinai. And to live a life of Torah, it gives such tremendous substance and value and serenity in one's life to have a spiritual pathway and to connect to that spiritual pathway, which we say is the true spiritual pathway. It's that which God gave the Jewish people at Mount Sinai, not something that we made up or we change as we go along as it suits us and fits into the popular culture. The Torah is God's word. The Torah is the truth. And the Torah is the means by which we elevate ourselves and connect to eternity. So first and foremost, we appreciate this great gift of the Torah, and we understand what a privilege it is to be part of this covenant, the covenant of the Jewish people, and we try and connect ourselves as much as possible. So for those that don't live a Torah life and don't really relate to that which I'm saying, which means that the Torah gives us a value and a content and a meaning, it's difficult to describe, but it's worth a try anyway. You know, imagine trying to describe a magnificent sunset to a person who can't see, to a blind person. So here in Africa, we've been blessed with a magnificent country, and one goes out into the bush and observes those African sunsets, and they are just breathtaking. There are no words to describe the magnificence and the colors and the perfection that we behold when we see that sunset. So it's difficult to communicate that to somebody who can't see. Likewise, when it comes to spirituality, it's difficult to communicate the value, the light, the meaning, the beauty, the fulfillment that it brings one in one's world, in one's life. Like somebody who's never kept Shabbos before. So Shabbos sounds like it's limiting and it's restrictive and it's a day of suffering. But on the contrary, Shabbos is a delight. Shabbos is a light that enters into the home and into the family. Shabbos is a time when everybody sits around the table and enjoys each other's company. There are no cell phones. There's no television. There's nowhere to run. We enjoy quality time together, and we savor that beautiful time. And that light that enters into the home of Shabbos is something that's palpable, that the people who keep Shabbos feel it and experience it, and something that is very powerful and unique. And likewise, a Torah life fills us with that meaning and joy and beauty and purpose. And Shavuos is a time to appreciate that. Shavuos is a time to thank God for giving us this incredible spiritual pathway which guides us in our lives, which gives us direction and fills our lives with light and with beauty and with joy and with fulfillment. So first and foremost, Shavuos is that celebration. When we come back after this break, we'll discuss the customs of Shavuos.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 High FM.
We're discussing this wonderful festival of Shavuos, which starts on Saturday night and ends on Monday evening. First and foremost, Shavuos is a celebration of the spiritual world of a Jew, of the Torah that God gave the Jewish people, of the that which distinguishes the Jewish people from other nations and elevates us to connect to God and eternity. On Shavuos, there are a number of interesting customs that we observe. So, for example, on Shavuos, we have a custom to stay up all night and learn Torah all night. On Shavuos, there's a custom to decorate the shul and our homes with flowers and with greenery. On Shavuos, there's a custom to have dairy foods. And finally, on Shavuos, there's a unique custom to read Sefer Rus, the Book of Rus. Now, let's briefly discuss those customs. We stay up at night on Shavuos because the Midrash tells us that when the Jewish people were due to receive the Torah from God at Mount Sinai, God was ready to give the Torah, but the Jewish people were sleeping. And Moshe had to go and wake them and tell them, the chosan is waiting at the chuppah, the groom is waiting at the chuppah, where's the bride? The bride needs to arrive. And so every year on Shavuos, the anniversary of the giving of the Torah, so we stay up all night and show how valuable and precious it is to us to receive the Holy Torah, and we don't go to sleep, we stay up in order to rectify that error that was made 3,000 years ago. So that's one of the reasons. Here in the Southern Hemisphere, it's quite difficult to do so because in the Northern Hemisphere, it's summer, and so therefore the night is much shorter. By the time Yom Tov comes in, and by the time you daven Shacharis at night, at sunrise, there's not that many hours in between. But here in South Africa, it's a long time. It's a long, cold winter night. So it takes quite a lot of hard work to stay up the whole night. But it is a wonderful minhag, and many, many do it here in Johannesburg and around the world. And it's wonderful to spend that night, the night of when we receive the Torah, all night learning Torah. The other custom we mentioned is that we decorate the shul and our homes with flowers and with greenery. The reason why we do that is because the pasuk tells us that the Torah, when the Torah was given, Har Sinai had flowers and Har Sinai had greenery, had green grass on it. So we remind ourselves of the place where we received the Torah, Har Sinai, and therefore there is a custom in shuls and in homes to decorate. We have dairy foods. The reason why we have dairy foods and Shavuos is because when the Jewish people received the Torah, they were told the many complicated laws of kashrus. They realized that their pots were treif. They'd used pots that had cooked in with treif food. And so it was far more difficult to prepare fleshik meat dishes than it was to prepare mochiks. And so they served mochiks. That's what they had until they could get everything else ready. And so we do the same to remember what happened at Mount Sinai. Also, the Torah is compared to milk. The Pasuk in Shir Hashirim says, like honey and milk under your tongue, so is the Torah. So therefore, we also remember that Pasuk, that the Torah is sweet and like milk and honey for us. And finally, the third reason why we have Mochiks on Shavuos is because when Moshe Rabbeinu was, as a baby, rescued from the Nile by the daughter of Paro, by Batya, and Moshe would not nurse from a non-Jewish woman, and therefore Miriam saw this and suggested that they get Moshe's mother, and she ended up nursing him. So that all happened on Shavuos. So we remember Moshe would only nurse from a Jewish source, also happened on Shavuos. So that's the reason why we have milchiks. And so Shavuos is the time for cheesecake, and Shavuos is the time for milkshakes and for milk treats. And there are reasons for that. There are holy reasons why we do that. Finally, the last minag of Shavuos that we've discussed is the reading of Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus is a story of Rus, of Ruth. Rus was a righteous woman. She converted to Judaism, and we read it on Shavuos. And there are a few reasons why we do that. The first reason is because Rus converted to Judaism, and all of the Jewish people converted when we received the Torah at Mount Sinai. Beforehand, we were a group of people, we were a family, but we were not obligated and bound by this covenant with God. That's what being Jewish is fulfilling our covenant with God, our contract with God. And so we all entered into that contract on Shavuos, so we all became converts like Rus on Shavuos. That's one reason. Another reason why we read Megillas Rus is because Rus was the great-grandmother, great-great-grandmother of David HaMelech, of King David. From Rus and Boaz came the lineage of David, of Malchus Beis David, of the kingdom of the house of David. And David HaMelech, King David, was born on Shavuos, on the 6th of Sivan, and died on Shavuos, and died on the 6th of Sivan. So we remember David, and remember the lineage of David, on Shavuos, on the Yotzat of, on his Yotzat and on his birthday, and therefore we make reference to his lineage on this day. And finally, the last reason is because Rus underwent a tremendous amount of hardship in order to receive the Torah. And we look at Rus's life, and we look at her as a role model, and we realize that there's no free lunches, that there's no easy journey, that if we want to also become people of Torah, fulfill our Torah obligations, it's not an easy thing. It takes hard work, like anything in this world that takes hard work. Nothing comes easy. If one wants to achieve something in this world, one has to work hard, whether it's in the business world, whether it's in the physical world, one wants to become physically fit and strong, or whether it's in the spiritual world. One always has to put in hard work and have dedication and focus and resilience and keep at the goal in order to achieve what we want. That's the pathway of life. We saw that was the pathway for Rus, and it's the same for all of us. So Rus should inspire us to put in the hard work and the toil in order to achieve our spiritual goals. So those are three beautiful reasons why we read Megillas Rus. And the last one is an amazing reason. And that is that if anybody should be dismissed and ignored, it should be Rus and Naomi, her mother-in-law. Rus and Naomi had left Eretz Yisrael as very prominent, powerful people, and they went to Moab, and Naomi's husband died, and her sons died, went through great hardship and tragedy, and comes back a pauper, comes back without any money, without any husband, and her daughter-in-law stays with her and commits to converting to Judaism and to being together with her mother-in-law. And if anybody should be dismissed and ignored, it should be them. They seem to be rachmonises. They seem to be people that are, you know, very unfortunate paupers. However, we see from the story of Rus that in Hashem's eyes, everybody is precious and everybody is significant. And nobody is to be dismissed and ignored. And from the least likely place comes the great, great grandmother of David HaMelech and the lineage of Mashiach, of the Malchus Beis David, of the kingdom of the house of David, and ultimately Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach, who will be the savior of the Jewish people, comes from this unlikely source. It teaches us a vital lesson, is that although in society maybe people get dismissed and get brushed aside, but in God's world, nobody gets brushed aside. And everybody is important to Hashem. And the choices we make in our lives, the little choices that may seem to be insignificant. We live in a world where those things that are headlines and those things that go on the Instagram pages who have millions of subscribers, those things are important. But my little day-to-day ordeals are irrelevant. Wrong. That's not the case. We see from Rus that even our little challenges and situations we find ourselves in, those are precious to Hashem. And Hashem is watching all of us. And as a result of Rus conducting herself the way she did in what seeming to be insignificant situations, ended up her being the great-great-grandmother of Mashiach. So we should learn that lesson and remember that none of us are insignificant, that we all are precious and valuable in the eyes of Hashem. And those little battles that we are all waging within ourselves each day, do we choose the right way or the wrong way? Do we choose our higher self or our lower self? Do we choose the path of spirituality or are we lost in the world of materialism? Those little challenges are of great value to Hashem, are paramount in Hashem's world and result in tremendous things, as is the case with Rus. So that's the final reason why we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. Now I want to maybe dig a little bit deeper and try and understand a little bit of the richness and the beauty and the depth of this Chag of Shavuos. And as I mentioned earlier, the two sages we're going to mention today, which bring that out for us, are two great Hasidic giants. One being the Sfas Emes, who was the Gera Rebbe, the Rebbe of Ger in Poland. A great genius, a person who had a wonderful understanding of Yiddishkeit, a wonderful knowledge of Torah and of the hidden Kabbalistic side of Torah, and of course the Pritzadik Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Now, what we're going to do is answer up a Gemara. There's an interesting Gemara in Psachim. What we're trying to bring out is the Avoida of Shavuos, which means what is the work? Every Yom Tov that we have, there's important ingredients in that Yom Tov that assist us in our spiritual journey, that we're supposed to mine those gems from the Yom Tov, and they're supposed to help us in our growth as human beings, in our spiritual development as human beings. So what is the Avoida? What is the area from which we grow on Shavuos? The Gemara in Psachim, Daf Samaches Amabay, says that Ba'atzeres on Shavuos, Hakol Moedim Deboinan Lachem. There's a concept in Yiddishkeit. This concept when it comes to Yomim Tovim is there's a part of the Yom Tov that's Lachem, that's to us, and there's a part of the Yom Tov that's LaHashem, to God. So for example, on a Yom Tov, we could emphasize the LaHashem part and learn and daven all day and enjoy the spiritual light of that Yom Tov. But we can also have some of Lachem, and usually we say Chetzi LaHashem and Chetzi Lachem. That on the Yom Tov, part of it, half of it is for Hashem, we daven, we learn, and part of it's Lachem, we have delicious meals, we wear nice clothing, we have a nice shlof. So the Yom Tov usually is divided into between us and Hashem. It says, but the Gemara Pesachim says that everybody admits, everybody agrees that when it comes to Shavuos, that there's got to be a strong Lachem element, that we require Lachem. Now why? Lachem means our physical enjoyment of the Yom Tov. But one would think that of all the Yomim Tovim, Shavuos should be the least one where there's Lachem. Shavuos should be the one where we're emphasizing the Torah and the receiving of the Torah and our spiritual journey and our connecting with God, as opposed to indulging in physical pleasure and enjoyment. Seems to be out of place and strange that we say on this particular Yom Tov where we celebrate the receiving of the Torah, that's the time that there's a physical pleasure, a Lachem of the Yom Tov. So the Sfas Emes answers this question. And he says that when the Torah, when the world was created, there was a Tanai, there was a condition in my separation, in the creation of the world. So for example, we know that we say Kiddush on a Friday night. We start out Kiddush Vayhi Erev Vayhi Voke Yom HaShishi. There was evening and there was morning. Yom HaShishi, the sixth day. Now, why do we say Yom HaShishi with a hey? All the other days where we are, where in Bereshis, where God describes the creation of the world and that which was created in the day. It says Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi. It doesn't say Yom HaRishon, Yom HaSheni, Yom HaShlishi. So why only on the sixth day does it say Yom HaShishi? Good question, right? Very good question. So the answer is, the Gemara explains, the Gemara in Shabbos says, the reason is because all that God created in the first 6 days, it was dependent on the Jewish people receiving the Torah at Mount Sinai on the sixth day, on the sixth of Sivan. So the Yom HaShishi, all of that that has been created up to now is dependent on the Mekabel Kabbalah Satorah, the Jewish people receiving the Torah on the sixth day. And that's why God said that if the Jewish people receive the Torah on the sixth day, so the laws of nature that I've created will continue. If they do not receive the Torah on the sixth day, so the world will return to tohu vavohu. The world will return back to nothingness and chaos if the Jewish people do not receive the Torah on the sixth day. And so, says the Sfas Emes, because that's the Tanai of creation, that's the condition of creation, on this sixth day, where we receive the Torah, it shows that the physical is subservient to the spiritual. That on this day we receive the Torah, it shows that the physical world only comes to serve the spiritual world. In other words, all other days of our lives, there's a concern, as Jews, our role is to find a balance between the physical and spiritual. In other words, we're unlike other religions where you go off to an ashram or you go off to a monastery and you disconnect from the physical world. You disengage from the material world. In Judaism, we're supposed to be fully engaged in the physical world, but we use the physical to elevate ourselves spiritually. We use the physical in order to grow. We have a delicious meal on Shabbos, Lakavod Shabbos Kodesh, in order to enjoy Hashem's precious day. We use the physical in our spiritual journey within a spiritual context, but we always have to be very careful because unless we're watching ourselves and we are controlled, we could lose ourselves in the physical, in the material. The physical world is very enticing, is very powerful. And unless we have a strong spiritual framework in which we control ourselves, we could get lost in the pursuit of the physical and of our appetites for power and for pleasure in the physical world. But there's one day where the physical, we don't have to worry about, where there's no concern of us losing ourselves in the physical, and that is the Shavuos. Because on this day, the Torah was given. On this day, it made the whole world kedai. The whole physical world maintained its existence and continued its functioning because we received the Torah on this day. So therefore, the physical world is kind of weakened on this day, and therefore we actually do engage in the physical on this day to show that the day of the receiving of the Torah enabled the physical world to exist, ensured the physical world would continue to exist. So that's the answer to this Sfas Emes. The Lachem on Shavuos is the emphasizing our enjoyment and our connection to the physical world because it is subservient to the Torah. And on this day, it doesn't have power. The day that the Torah was given, the day that we received the Torah at Mount Sinai, is a day when the physical is benign and doesn't have the dangers that are usually associated with it. And that's why there's a special aspect of Lachem to emphasize this on the day. So that's the answer of the Sfas Emes of the Gemara in Pesachim. But when we come back after this ad break, we're going to discuss the answer of Reb Tzadok HaKohen, the Pre Tzadik.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 High FM.
To discuss the answer to the question of the Gemara in Pesachim, of the Lachem, of the aspect of Shavuos that is for our own benefit, why that fits in. Sfas Emes said because the physical becomes subservient to the spiritual on this holy and powerful day. Let's look at the answer of Reb Tzadok HaKohen. Reb Tzadok HaKohen was a brilliant person, a great genius who had at his disposal, Kol HaTorah Kulo, he knew the entire Torah, Bein Benigla, Bein Nista, whether the revealed parts or the hidden parts of the Torah, were all very clear. And Reb Tzadok wrote, his writings have a perception and understanding which is quite uncanny. And he explains the following. He says, There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Tes Zayin says that we bring the Omer offering the day after Pesach because there's a din on Tavua on Pesach. So we all know that we're counting the Omer. Today is the 46th day of the Omer, and we've been counting since the second day of Pesach, and we count all the way until Shavuos. So Shabbos will be the 49th day, and then the day after the 49th, that's Shavuos. Now, Reb Tzadok says, the Gemara says that the reason why we bring an Omer offering of Pesach, what would happen is that the Kohanim would go into the fields, and they would cut barley from the fields, and they would bring that barley to the Beis HaMikdash and make an offering, a wave offering with the barley. So that was called the Omer offering. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that Shavuos, on Shavuos they bring the Shtei Halechem. On Shavuos there's a mitzvah to bring an offering of two loaves of bread, of wheat bread. And that's, the Gemara says, is because on Shavuos there's the din of Peros HaIlan, that we are judged for the fruits of trees on Shavuos. Now, that's a very strange Gemara, because if you judged on the fruits of the trees on Shavuos, so you would surely have to bring fruits as an offering. Why do you bring wheat and the Shtei Halechem, the two loaves? Bring apples, bring oranges, bring peaches, bring those things that grow on Peros HaIlan. Peros HaIlan, those things that grow on the fruit trees. So why is it if we judged on Shavuos for Peros HaIlan that we bring wheat? So Rashi over there deals with this issue. Rashi in that Gemara. Rashi says, Shamati, Reb Yehuda Amar, She'etz Hadas Haya Chita. Reb Yehuda said that the Eitz Hadas was actually Chita, was wheat. In other words, the Ingan Eden, when Adam sinned, Adam and Chava sinned, they ate from the tree of knowledge, the Eitz Hadas, and that was a tree that was made up of wheat, was a wheat tree. In other words, in those days, the wheat was like a tree. Wheat wasn't the plant that we have today. It was actually like a tree, and you would pick off the wheat kernels from the tree like you pick off fruit from the tree. There are some sources that say when Mashiach comes, when the perfection of the world arrives, so the wheat will be like tamarim, like date trees. So let's try and understand, what's the relevance of a Yom HaDin, of a day of judgment of Peros HaIlan, of the fruits? Does it mean that this year we'll have good peaches and good apples? What's the relevance and significance of that? So let's try and understand. Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains the following. He says, the Gemara Megillah says that Ezra was metaken, that before Rosh Hashanah, we lay in Parshas Kisavo. Why? Tichle shana v'chiloseah. Because the year should end, the previous year should end, and all of the curses of the year should end with the year. And it should be a new year without curses. And therefore we read Kisavo, which has the curses, the toichacha in them, that describe that if we do the mitzvahs, things will go well for us, and if we don't, things are going to go horribly wrong. That's called the Teichacha. So we read that just before Rosh Hashanah, because all the curses of that year should end together with the year. But the Gemara also says in Megillah that before Shavuos, we read Parshas Bechul Kosar, also because of Tichle Shana Chiloseh. Because before Shavuos, we want the year to end and the curses of that year to end. In other words, before the din of Peros HaIlan, we want all the curses to end. Now, what does that mean? That means that, what's the relevance of this? So Reb Tzadok explains the following. Reb Tzadok HaKohen says that there are big differences. There are two big differences between fruits and between tavua, between produce. Fruits, if you plant your orchard, you plant your trees, you'll harvest the fruits. Go pick the fruits and they're ready for consumption. They're on the shelves that day or the next day. They're straight away immediately ready for consumption. If the fruit is ripe. Tavua, however, when it comes to produce, when it comes to the five grains or wheat, barley, spelt, rye and oats, so the tfua, it's a whole long process. You have to plow and you have to plant and you have to harvest and you separate and you sift and you grind and you knead and then you bake. Half of the melachos of Shabbos deal with the production of bread, from beginning to end. So it's a long and difficult process as opposed to the fruits on the tree. They just pick off the fruit and it's there ready for you for consumption. And also we see that fruits are, once the tree is there, it remains there. Each year you don't have to replant the tree. The tree is like a machine that constantly reproduces every year. Whereas the tavua, You start all from the beginning again. That you have to once again get rid of the old plants and plow and plant and harvest, separate, sift, grind, knead, bake, etc. So that's a big difference. Now in Gan Eden, it says Vayita, that Adam planted trees. There were only Perusa Ilan in Gan Eden and no Tvua. Why? Because it was an ideal world. Gan Eden was the pristine world of the way things were supposed to be. And in that world, all of the physical world was created to serve Adam, to serve this spiritual being. And so he should do spiritual work. So in other words, everything around him was there to facilitate the work or the spiritual work that he was supposed to do. The wheat, the chita, which is the eitz hadaas, according to many opinions. So that you, in Gan Eden, you didn't need to plow, you didn't need to sow. It was like a tree. It was there and ready and available for Adam. So Adam was supposed to be served by the physical world, and everything was there for his convenience. On Shavuos, says Rav Tzadok, that chita, on Shavuos, the shtei alechem that we bring reminds us that the Eitz Hadaas was a tree, and that's how the world should be. That's the pristine way, an ideal way of operating the world. So that's what Rashi is saying, is that it's symbolized by the physical world, and in other words, the physical world serving the spiritual world. But when Adam and Chava sinned, so the Eitz Hadaas and the eight from the Eitz Hadaas, it then became the Tavua became a plant, and you needed all of this hard work in order to get your what you need out of it. And so on Shavuos, that day of year when we receive the Torah, so it's a day when we go back to the perfection of creation. We go back to the way things are supposed to be, and we bring the Shtei Lechem as if it were of eitz to remind us on this day we judge for Paras Ha'ilam. So the Chet changed all of that, but on Shavuos we go back to that. Now, what's the point? So what, we judged on Shavuos, we're going back and we're being judged on the trees. On Shavuos we see that this Yom Hadin, this day of judgment for the trees, is very significant because we're being judged on how we are relative to the ideal state of creation. That's what it means, we judged on Paras Ha'ilan. Do we relate to the world, the physical world, as a Paras Ha'ilan that's there to serve us? Or do we relate to the physical world that we're there to serve it? The curse, the klala of Adam after the sin was Bezeas Apecha Toichal Lechem, by the sweat of your brow you should eat your bread. So does our relation to spirituality fit into Bezeas Apecha Toichal Lechem? In other words, our spirituality is part of our toil in this world, part of our engagement in the material world, or is it not? Is spirituality raised above everything else in the physical world, and our existence in the physical is there in order to serve the spiritual? And that, therefore, we relate to the physical world like Paras Ha'ilan. It's there to serve us and to facilitate our spiritual growth and to be a means and a vehicle for us to develop ourselves spiritually. Or no, is it Tvua? Or are we so drowned in the sweat and tears and toil of the physical world that there's no space for air and there's nothing else in our world? And that is the judgment of Shavuos. And Shavuos, we're all being judged. How do we relate to this physical material world? Are we above the physical world? Do we use the physical world as a means to facilitate our spiritual journey and our spiritual growth? Or is the physical world an end in itself? It's not a means to an end, but it's an end in itself. That we are so engaged and we are so indulgent and we are so busy chasing our appetites for power and pleasure that there actually is nothing else. That we are serving that physical world. The material world is everything, and there's no bigger picture and there's no spiritual journey upon which one. So that's, Rav Tzadok says, that's what's going on Shavuos. That's the judgment on Shavuos. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
We're discussing the depth behind Shavuos, and we have explained the Gemara says that there's the aspect of Lechem, of our own enjoyment, physical enjoyment on Shavuos. Rasfas Emma says, because on this day there's no concern and danger of the physical world overriding us. And because it's such a powerful spiritual day, the physical world always will be subservient. And that's why we have an extra aspect in the physical world to show that. The Rav Tzadok HaKohen has a different approach. Rav Tzadok says, because on this day, we're judged for Peirus HaIlan. What does that mean? It means that we are judged in terms of what is our engagement and relationship with the physical world. This is the day that we need to reassess ourselves. This is the day that we need to recalibrate and ensure that our engagement with the physical world is in the right context. That we are not just serving the world for the world's sake. In other words, it is an end in itself. But there's much more to our existence. That we have a spiritual goal. That we understand that we are spiritual creatures. And the entire existence of this physical world is just a means and a vehicle to facilitate our spiritual work and our spiritual purpose in this world. And therefore, that's the Lachem on Shavuos. The Lachem on Shavuos is that we assessing what is that physical, the physical that I'm about to engage in on this day, what does it mean to me? What's my relationship to it? Is it like the Eitz HaIlan, which is there to serve me, or is it like the Tavua, that I'm there to serve it? So that's the judgment on Shavuos, and those are the thoughts we should have and the focus we should center on this important and holy day. So Shavuos is a powerful time, an important time, and we wish all of our listeners a Chag Sameach, and I hope that you'll participate in a learning program in an Orthodox synagogue that's near you, and you'll learn extra Torah. It's important to learn extra Torah on Shavuos, important to apply ourselves and dedicate ourselves to learning, especially on this day, and important to reassess what is my position in this world in relation to the physical world. Am I lost in the physical world? Am I being washed away in the flood of materialism? Or am I above the physical world? And I'm using it as a means to fulfill my spiritual purpose, my serving of God, and fulfilling God's will in this world. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and a wonderful Yom.